All right, welcome into the Big Story podcast with Brent Moore. Chuck Maxwell here with my new theme music that I have just called up on the iPod.
What is that? Is that B.B. King there?
It's Daryl Mansfield, one of my heroes from the Jesus music era.
Okay. How come all your heroes, Chuck, I've never heard of?
I think you know the answer to that question.
It's fine. Hey, listen, I get the same thing, when I teach students who are 12, 14 years old. You'd be amazed how many of them not only have never handled a VCR, but they truly don't know what it is. And they're not trying to be funny.
Yeah, right. Well, I still have a record player that works. So,
okay. That puts you into the category because I don't even know anyone until now. I had a record player that works, so good for you.
Yeah, so it's been a couple of weeks since we've been with you on the Big Story podcast here. And we have, I don't remember what the last thing we discussed.
At least we were on the edge of the New Testament.
I just remember you didn't have your mic plugged in very well.
Yeah, well,
which you do today.
We are. I'm watching the, we're good.
But we are well into the Gospels, and this week we'll finish them.
Right.
In our reading plan together. And how do you think it's going, man?
I mean, because here we are with the New Testament. I mean, everybody loves this stuff. I mean, very few people... begrudge, I mean, especially the Spirit of God lives inside them, reading through the Gospels. So it's been fun. The only frustration that I've heard, and George was telling me about this yesterday in the service, was people get tired of flipping. And I would say the same way. I get tired of flipping too.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. it just makes it, I don't know, it's a little bit more difficult flipping back and forth. And of course, maybe that's a good plug for the Chronological Bible that's come out to go along with the plan. We will work on the possibility of trying to get some of those for Northbrookers here at the church house. So just stay tuned and we're going to work with the powers that be to maybe get some of those here.
Right. But then the advantage of it is that when you have a story that is told in three or four of the different Gospels there, you're just seeing it again and again. So it just sort of gets put in there. And then so then certain words stand out that you didn't necessarily see in the other. So, so it's been good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you, I don't know if you're like me, but even doing all this flipping, I'm going, oh, I've read that story before. Let me hurry through that.
Right.
I read that story before. Let me hurry through that one. And then we flip to the next version of it. We go, and you kind of get through a little bit quicker maybe. And my tendency is to miss some things that I don't need to miss.
Yeah, I think that happens. You know, God's kind.
yeah. But one of the things that you told me that sticks out to you is being able to see did you say the consistency within
the consistency within the message and the person of Jesus that you see throughout all four Gospels, right? I mean, we saw that just reading the same story in four different ways. But then a consistency within the book. So, like, when you see, like, kingdom language in Matthew and Mark and all this kind of stuff, you see how it's all the way through the book, right? It's not that he gets to a certain point and he starts talking about the kingdom of heaven and the things to come, and you're like, oh, well, this doesn't make any sense with anything else. No, it does make sense if you read it as a complete thing. Mm. And then the bigger deal, I think, is that we see a consistency throughout the Old and New Testament.
Yeah.
And that's the exciting
part. Yeah, and so what's the word?
Fulfillment.
That's the word that sticks out to you.
Yeah, fulfilled. That I think Jesus over and over again says, this has happened so that the Scriptures will be fulfilled.
Yeah. Yeah. So the story,
it's coming to completion. That's
right.
In a real sense.
I mean, he's, and we were talking about this, before we pushed record, that it's very easy for us, even I think in the church, because we love to hear sermons and Bible studies from the New Testament. It's easy for us to separate Jesus from the story.
Right.
And the big story.
Absolutely. And see, culture wants us to do this all the time, too. I mean, what they do is because they don't get Jesus, we've subtly bought into lies all the times where we allow people to get away with well, Jesus wouldn't do this, or Jesus wouldn't be about this. And what we have to come back and tell them time and time again, no, Jesus knew what he was saying. He knew what Bible he'd be put into.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just think that, so not only are we fighting sort of an internal conflict of, I don't like certain things that God did in the Old Testament, or I don't like certain things that Jesus said in this context. So that's in our own hearts. And then we have this outside culture thing that's saying, yeah, believe that, believe that, believe mm-hmm. that. Because that'll get you out of maybe some hard things.
Yeah, and another maybe another danger or another detour we tend to take would be we turned Jesus into this ethical representative,
right?
You know, and not that we are denying his divinity or anything like that, but it's we tend to more emphasize the ethics of the kingdom life right. than we do that his time on earth was the fulfillment of what God said in Genesis 3 was going to happen.
Absolutely. And but see, it can be ethically, but you know, Chuck, we could take this a number of different directions. We could say a lot of times we'll reflect back on Christ what we want him to say, or we'll magnify other aspects and minimize certain things. I'm thinking about sometimes in our worship songs. I mean, you're big on worship, is the idea that we'll emphasize only a romantic type love with Jesus, which isn't necessarily all wrong. There's aspects of that in the scripture, but if we played those kind of worship songs over and over and over again, you're saying something to people, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting a certain image. And then you can do this in terms of, I mean, you and I both said in counseling sessions where someone, they'll say all day long, yeah, Jesus is my Savior, or I'm saved. And then, but what is it? It's a Jesus sort of their own making that allows them to be comfortable with who they
are. Yeah, yeah. So we tend to avoid. Oh no, and I think we've used the even in a song. He bids me come and die.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
we kind of avoid that aspect of what Jesus was here for, right?
Yeah, because if we can avoid hard things or hard concepts about who Jesus proclaimed about himself, then it keeps us from being challenged in our own kind of self-centeredness, honestly.
Mm.
So it's a big thing to read through the Gospels.
Yeah, yeah. So so another result maybe of reading it outside of Jesus fulfilling the big story is it becomes individualistic.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it does. And see, that goes back to just the propensity of our own souls and our own culture. See, we have two things telling us to be individual, don't we? We have our own selfishness, our own idea of like, hey, I don't want to show you this about me. And then we also have our culture that's always pushing individualistic
mm-hmm.
outside of
community. Be your own self. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we got to remember that Jesus is completing God's plan that he set up before the ages began.
Yeah.
And that his work was not just to make us better individuals. It was to redeem a people.
Absolutely.
For himself.
Absolutely. And then all along the way, he really is meant to challenge the process. Not just challenge the process, but to challenge us. I mean, if you and me as ministers and anybody else listening to this read through the Gospels and weren't challenged in some way,
mm-hmm.
You know, check your pulse or something, because he was all the way through.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's cool. But he does it in a redeeming way, as we've talked about.
Yeah. One of the things that made me uncomfortable several times in reading through is I found myself in the robe of a Pharisee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too many times did I feel like, oh my, Jesus has nailed me to the wall because I'm sitting here. I'm sort of in the camp with these Pharisees, and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, you're reading the Gospels rightly. Way to go, Chuck. Because I get the feeling, and maybe I've said this before, that, you know, that when we were taught in Sunday school, you and I went through at least traditional Sunday school type settings, we were always taught from the very beginning, the Pharisees were the bad guys. You're the follower of Jesus. You're the good guy. So assume that's not talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you missed the point of the Gospels if you start there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Good. You're reading it right.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you straightened me up on that.
You're already straightened out.
You're firming it.
We're just trying to firm one another.
Yeah.
As friends.
So well. Good. Well, it's good stuff, folks, and it's not too late still. We've only got
Acts the Revelation.
Nine weeks left or so. Is that right? 8 or 9 weeks left.
Well, we're on week 45, beginning of week 45.
So we got 8 weeks, 6 weeks. Whatever we got left, we're going to be reading into Acts this week.
Just and Acts so, the Revelation.
Jump in. Yeah. I mean, jump in. If you need to catch up, you can call Brent or me. We will give you one phone call.
Yeah.
With just a few minutes, we will catch you up on the story.
We can do it quick.
The Holy Spirit will come, and you're ready to go.
Yeah, they're very good.
So,
very good.
Now you're going to miss a whole lot of the details that are real important, but we want you to be in there with us. And so, keep
reading.
Keep reading. Yep. See you next time.